Slavă Domnului! Haideți cu toții să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Iov, capitolul 1, versetele de la 13 la 22. So, for the English sermon today, please open your Bibles at the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 13 to 22. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaean raided them and took them away, indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. When he was still speaking, another one also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they're all dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed would be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not see nor charge God with wrong. Amen. God put on my heart a couple of weeks ago to come before you with a message about depression. And because of the certain limit of the time that we have with all these sermons in English, this is going to be a double message or a message with two parts. The first part is going to be tonight and the second part will be in 5 weeks, with God's willing. In 1835, in the city of Florence, Italy, a man goes to see a doctor. And he says, doctor, I don't feel good. I can't sleep right, I can't eat right, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm always upset and I'm always mad. The doctor looked at him, checked him and said, you know what, you suffer from depression. But I know something, I have something for you. Something better than any kind of medicine. Something better than any kind of pill. Something better than any kind of treatment. Look, tonight in our city is going to be a big circus. And the biggest clown in our country, Grimaldi, will come and perform. And I really encourage you to come see him. And I tell you, you're gonna get your joy back. You will get your happiness back. You will get back the smile on your face. And the man looks at the doctor and he goes, doctor, I don't think that's possible. Why? Well, you see, I am Grimaldi. You see, a lot of times you might go to someone that has cancer and you say, you know, I know how you feel. You don't know how she feels. Only when you had cancer, you know how that feels. You might go to someone that lost her son or her daughter saying, I feel with you. You do not feel with her or with him. Only when you lost someone that you love, you really know how that loss feels like. And it's the same thing with depression. But the reality and the truth is, brothers and sisters, that we all have been, or some of us will be, through depression, up to a level, to a higher or to a lower level. Depression, as a definition, is an emotional condition characterized by sadness, by grief, and by apathy. There's over 10 million people in the United States of America that suffer from depression every year. And surprisingly, most of them are older, not younger. You know, there's depression everywhere. There's depression when we talk about the young generation. There's depression when we talk about adults. And there's depression when we talk about older people as well. Teenagers are depressed. You know, no one understands me. I mean, no one gives me attention. I'm probably not a cool person. I'm not that much of a sociable person. My classmates don't care about me and they don't give me attention. My professors don't give me attention. My friends, I don't know, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, they don't give me attention. My parents don't give me attention. And I go to church, but I don't understand God. And I take just that emo image in my face and on my life. I'm by myself, locking myself in my room, and I'm depressed. And let me tell you something. From that point on, up to committing suicide is not a long distance. Adults, brothers and sisters, adults are depressed these days, especially men after the age of 40, 45, right? When you kind of get sick of seeing the same faces, probably your wife, probably your husband, I don't know, the kids, all the unaccomplishments throughout life, and we get sick and tired of a lot of things. But the worst part is that we get sick and tired of God as well. Older people are depressed. Look what they did to me. I raised them all my life. And they threw me into an elder's home. And I would be happy if I would at least get a Merry Christmas card and a Happy Easter every year, two cards. But sometimes I don't even get that. I remember last Christmas, I have been to Romania and I visited this lady. She's about 82 years old. I knew her since I was probably 6 years old. She used to babysit my sister and she used to take care of me and my brother. And I know her life very well. She had two daughters. Her husband died. Two daughters, one of them in Canada that doesn't want to hear about her. Another one that used to beat her and abused her with mental problems. Now the old lady is the one that takes care of her. Two granddaughters that she gave her life for. She paid for their school. She raised them. She did everything for them. And now they don't even want to talk to her. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes saying, Abel, this is what I deserve after everything that I did for them. Because people are depressed. We're looking at Job. Because I was reading here from the book of Job. And to kind of transfer and to kind of get from his time to our time, and especially for the young generation to kind of understand it a little better. Job would be the person that if he would leave today, he would be the one sitting here, and when the pastor would say, now Job has something to say, congregation. No one would afford being on a cell phone. No one would afford talking to each other. It would be quiet everywhere because there are some words of wisdom that Job has to say. And I can't afford missing those words of wisdom. Job would be a man that would be rich, wealthy. He would probably drive a nice Mercedes, but he would have his back seat full of homeless people. He would have probably the most expensive coat, but he would be the first one that would take his coat and give it to a person that is naked. Job is a blessed man, but Job is a man that understands that he has all that blessing from God, and his responsibility and his duty is to transfer it to the others. Job is a man that has 10 kids, but every time his kids would get together, every time his kids would have a party, Job would come before God and say, Lord, I bring you a sacrifice and I want to pray for my kids. You know I raised my kids fearing you, Lord. But if somehow they unplease you, if somehow they sin, God, please forgive them. Because Job was a man that feared God. And still, one day, Job's world crashes down. And someone comes to him and says, Job, your ships are gone. Your servants are gone. Job, your 401k is gone. Your pension plan is gone, Job. Job, your assets are gone. Your business is gone. Your properties, they're all gone, Job. Someone comes and says, Job, the light of your life, Job, your kids, they're gone. Everything is gone. He gets a disease. And all these people that one time they would bow their heads in front of him, all these people that would respect him, they look at him and they spit into his face. And that person, that only one person that was supposed to stay right next to him unconditionally, she says, curse God and die. And you think that Job wasn't depressed? No. Job was depressed. And the title of my message tonight is Dealing with a depression. Dealing with depression. Of course, we just mentioned a few causes for the depression. Then there's many, but we don't have time to go over everything. But I'm going to just stop at two ideas tonight. How can I deal with my depression? What can I do as a Christian, as a man, as a woman of God in my depression? First of all, find your purpose in your depression. Romans 5, chapter 3 to 4. And not only that, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. James 1 verses 2 to 4. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various troubles, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Finding your purpose. I cannot talk about depression and not mention probably the name of Elijah, a great man of God. A man that God made miracles through. He prays 3 years for God to not bring rain. God closes the heaven. It doesn't rain in the country for 3 years. And then he prays for rain. And God brings rain, rain with fire that we can even understand. And there's that moment on Carmel, a glorious moment when everyone can see the rain and Elijah's there and he prays and God gave rain and he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's killing all these prophets of Baal. Apogeul vieții spirituale a lui Ilie, dacă vreți așa. The glorious spiritual moment in Elijah's life. And the next day, he's depressed. He said he wants to die. He runs from his life from a woman, from Isabel. Why? Because he trusted the people. He cared too much about what people think about him. He thought that all these people are probably going to make him a statue. It's saying, look what happened here with God and Elijah. And no way. Indeed, all these people, they were saying God is great. Why? Because they saw the water. They saw rain. But the next day, they were killing Naboth. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, we care too much about what people think about us. And a lot of times when they bring us down, we are depressed and we're just remaining down. But listen, it's not about what we do with God, even in a great moment. It's not about what we do with God, but it's about what God does with us. It's about what God does in our lives. De multe ori parcă ne dă așa Dumnezeu un dege și încercăm să-i luăm toată mâna, nu? And we have this glorious moment on Carmel and then we get so depressed, we get so mad. We're so unthankful. You see, Elijah falls after Carmel. After a glorious moment. Don't expect the devil to come to you when you're drunk. Don't expect the devil to come to you when you're sinning, when you're smoking pot, or I don't know what you're doing. The devil won't come to you then because you're an easy prey. He's got you already. But try to make a commitment for months to serve the Lord for the rest of your life. You get baptized and you'll see how the devil will strike at you. Pray for years and years, for months to get the Holy Spirit. Finally, God gave you the Holy Spirit and you will see how the devil will attack you. You confess, you stay 1 week fasting and praying and you get communion and you get back in your car and you will see how the temptations are going to come, because the devil won't come to you when you're an easy prey. The devil will come to you after a Carmel, after a glorious moment. You know, did you ever think what God said then to Elijah? I'm depressed, God. I don't even want to do anything. You know, you'd expect God to say, you know, really, Elijah? After everything I did in your life, after everything that I did with you, that's the thank you that you're giving me? I could have chose someone else to make my name glorified. And no, Elijah, I chose you. And that's what you're doing? That's how you're acting? No. No. God looks at him, comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, are you done complaining? Stand on the mountain. No, God, I'm not done. I'm still complaining. I used to be great, but now I'm depressed. And then God comes again and says, Elijah, are you done? Are you done? Now stand up, Elijah. Go on the way to the wilderness. Go on the road to Damascus and anoint Hazael, the king of Syria. Elijah, are you done complaining? Abel, are you done being depressed? Maria, Daniel, David, are you done? God comes and says, you know what? I understand your depression, Emmanuel. I understand your problem. I understand you're depressed. I understand you're down. I understand you're at the lowest point of your life. And I don't expect you to be perfect. I don't expect you to be God. I don't expect you to be Jesus Christ, my son. But I want you to try. I want you to fight with your flesh. I want you to fight with your sin. I want you to want to be different. I want you to find a purpose in your depression. In John 16, Jesus tells the disciples, să știți că veți avea necazuri din pricina numelui meu. Oamenii vă vor ocorî, vă vor bagiocori, vă vor prigoni, dar nu vă aștepta să vă facă statui. Don't expect fame. Don't expect popularity. Don't expect stars on Hollywood Boulevard. Because if you expect stars on Hollywood Boulevard in your depression, you will end up like them with an overdose. But if you understand that you have a purpose in your life, even in your depression, you will be able to stand up and walk. You will be able to be different. This life church, this life is not just about making money. This life is not just about being rich. This life is not just about having a job. This life is not just about degrees. This life is not just about a family. This life is not just about living comfortable and eat good. What God requires from me and from you, and even in your depression, to understand that you have a purpose. And the purpose is a total preparation. Those 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years that God gives you. This needs to be a preparation for the eternity, for the moment when I will see my Lord on the heaven. Praise God. Find your purpose in your depression. Two, get rid of your ego. Get rid of your ego. Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid his life down for us. He also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Amen. I used to have a friend, and he used to be a man of God. He used to be a youth pastor. He used to be a man that other people would look up to. He used to be an example. Other people would come to get advices from him. And now he's depressed, he's down, he's divorced, he doesn't believe in God anymore. He doesn't want to have anything to do with any kind of church. He doesn't have anything to do with any kind of people, Christians. And one time I got a little closer to him and I talked to him and I said, you know inside of you that what you're doing is wrong. You know you're not right. What made you do this? What made you change your life in such a horrible way? And he was a little honest with me and he said, you know what, Abel, I asked God for something. And it was a very honest question. And God didn't answer me back. And that's why I start being rebellious. Que de pueril, no? How childish. Expect God to answer us, and if he doesn't answer, I'm just going to rebel. Well, God is not an app that you put on your Android. God is not Siri on your iPhone. You ask her whatever you want to ask, because she's going to tell you, and if she doesn't know, she's probably going to send you on a side. No. God is the one that created us. God is the one that created this whole earth. God is the one that created all these galaxies. God has created all this earth, all this universe. We can't expect God to be our servant and tell us everything that we want on the spot. You know, we all know the story full of actions in the book of Jonah. God tells his prophet Jonah, go to Nineveh. But no, he goes to Tarshish. And then he ends up there on a boat. There's a big storm, and they're very, very, very upset. They're crying. They're scared, right, for their lives. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And now he doesn't have any kind of escape. And he says, you know what, guys? It happened because of me. It's my fault. And you know what? What you need to do, you will save your life. But what you need to do is to throw me in the water. And they throw Jonah in the water, and Jonah and a great fish swallows Jonah. Right? And Jonah stays there for 3 days and three nights, a representation of the 3 days and three nights that Jesus Christ was dead. Okay? And then he repents there. And after 3 days and three nights, Jonah gets back and he's saved. That's the way Jesus Christ, our Savior, after 3 days, he raised from the dead. And you think that Jonah learned his lesson. And God comes again and says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them, I'm tired and sick of their sins. In 40 days, I will destroy that city. And please picture with me for a second this image. Jonah walking in the city of Nineveh saying, you know what, guys? I just have one. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to talk to anyone. Don't bother me. I have one mission. I have one message and one message only to tell you that in 40 days, this city will be destroyed. And you would expect all these people to make fun of him. But no, That king that one day was used to start all the parties and all the scene in that city, he comes back into his senses and he says, you know what, guys, we have to repent. God will actually punish us. And God is there ready to punish them. But our God, when he sees the sinner repenting, he cannot punish him. And they're saved. Now this is almost like a story that you could tell your kid before he goes to bed with a happy ending. God is happy because they repent. They are happy because they are saved. Except one person. And please put on the screen Jonah chapter 4. And let's all read together. Jonah chapter 4, the first 3 verses. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray you, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent of your evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Everyone's happy except Jonah. Jonah's not happy. No, Jonah's mad. Jonah's angry. Jonah's depressed. Jonah wants to die. Why? The product of Jonah's depression is the lack of forgiveness. God forgave them. Jonah didn't. Even though it's like a paradox, they didn't even sin against Jonah. They sinned against God. God forgave them, but Jonah didn't forgive them. Jonah was jealous on them. Jonah didn't want them to be saved. Jonah wanted to be the only one saved. Don't you find yourself? Don't I find myself? Don't we find ourselves a lot of times in Jonah's situation? I forgive you, brother, but I won't forget you. And every time I see you, I remember what you did to me a year, 2, 3 years ago, what you did to my family, or what you did to my church. And I'm always going to keep that anger inside of me. Jealous. Why would I tell people about God? It's okay if my circle, if it's just me, if it's me and my family, me and my wife, me and my kids, and we're saved, that's enough. Why would I tell other people about God? Why would I go to school or to work and tell people about God? I mean, this is almost like a taboo subject. It's sensitive to talk about God and to talk about politics. Unhappy in the church. What? Only they can sing. What? My kids can sing? Why would I listen to him? Don't you see how he preaches? He's too mellow. He's too loud. He's too long. He's too short. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's right. And then you know what? I'm just getting sick of this Romanian church, and I'm just going to move to another one and another one and another one. And I just start switching churches as I switch socks. And then suddenly I'm going to go to an American church thinking that I'm going to look for perfection and find perfection. But guess what? I'm not going to find perfection because I'm not perfect. And the only one that is perfect is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm mad. I'm upset. You know, didn't you see I was at that wedding? You didn't say hi to me. I expected you to come and say hi to me, and you didn't say hi to me. But I didn't see you. I was there. How many people were there? I don't know, over 500. Where were you? I don't know. I was probably in the airplane. I don't know where I was. And we always are mad, we're always upset, we're always angry because things don't go our way and because God doesn't tell us what we want to hear. I think I said this before in our church. There is a moment when our Savior Jesus Christ hears about John the Baptist, his cousin, and he heard the bad news that he was killed by Herod. And the Bible said that Jesus was at a point when he wanted to be lonely. He wanted to cry. He was hurt. He was depressed. But people would come to him saying, oh Lord, Jesus, please save me. Please heal me. I have this problem. I have that problem. Și putea să le spună, mă, oameni buni, dar lăsați-mă și pe mine în pace 2-3 zile. Dar știu că sunt Dumnezeu, dar sunt în trup de om și am și eu lacrimi, am și eu durere, am și eu suspin. Și am necazul ăsta. But no. Jesus stayed there with everyone. He prayed with everyone. He loved everyone. He embraced everyone. He hugged everyone. Because he wanted to give me and give you a lesson that you need to get rid of your ego. I need to get rid of my ego, even in my depression. Emmanuel, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus didn't need to come here and be spit in his face by me and by you. He didn't need to come here and be crucified by a human being that he created. He came here because he loved us so much and he wanted to give me and give you a lesson that we need to get rid of our ego. Even in our depression, after you're saved, you need to understand that it's not about you anymore. It's about your family. It's about your friends. It's about your kids. It's about your coworkers. It's about the people that you interact every day with your life. A depressed Christian equals a dead Christian. I cannot afford staying depressed when I interact with people every day of my life and they go to hell. I cannot afford being depressed when people are dying. And I sit comfortable knowing the truth, knowing what's right and what's wrong. When you will understand that it's not about you, you will be able to forgive. When you will understand that it's not about your ego and about your self-esteem, you will be able to open your arms and embrace the one next to you. When you will understand the concept of repentance, of a true and deep confession, you will be able to deal and overcome your spiritual depression. May God help us. Amen.